Well, this past year, among the many things that that I was exposed to and learned about in May this year, I had the privilege of meeting our local MP, Marilyn Gladue. I actually met her in Ottawa. I didn't meet her here. I met her in Ottawa, and was introduced to her by a friend of ours, and just had the opportunity also then to sit in on a leadership workshop that she gave as part of the National Prayer Breakfast agenda, and got to talk to her a little bit. And so we've corresponded over the course of the summer. And so last week, as we had Doug Thompson here to share about locally, what does it mean to live out your faith? I've asked Marilyn if she'd come here and just share with us about what does it mean to live out your faith in the environment that is Parliament Hill, and as it looks like on a national basis. So let's welcome Marilyn Gladue here for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, yeah. Thank you, Dave. Yeah. It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the invitation, and what a delight to be in your midst and to see the great things that God is doing through you. 120 kids to come and learn about Jesus. It's just amazing. So when Dave asked me to speak about faith in politics, my first reaction was to say, is there any? Maybe that would be the theme. But I will share with you my story. Next slide. I'm going to try to address three questions. How does a Christian get into politics? How can you be a Christian in politics? And how do we get Christ into politics? So before I share with you how I felt the call of God to go into politics, I thought I better start with the reactions of other people that God has called in the Bible so that you don't judge me too harshly. On the next slide, when God called Abram and said, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you, he was 75 and he just got up and went. What a great reaction. When Moses was called in Exodus 4, he said, pardon your servant, Lord, please send someone else. So this is also a good reaction. And then I think I have one more there from Gideon, who didn't refuse, but he said, pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. So, you know, when God calls you to do something, sometimes you just get up and do it. Sometimes you say, can you find somebody else? And sometimes you are not sure how that's going to be achieved. So for me, I grew up in St. Catharines, was raised in the Baptist tradition, and gave my heart to the Lord when I was 12. And from there, you know, was part of a youth group, went on to university. And when I came out of university and came to Sarnia, I mean, at that point in time, I'd had really no desire or interaction with politics, other than when I was 8, I was playing with my friends, and I told them I was going to be Prime Minister of Canada someday. Other than that, there was no involvement. I was not someone who voted all the time. When I did vote, I voted Liberal because my mom was Liberal, and my dad was NDP, and I figured she was smarter than he was, and I should vote Liberal. After that, when I voted, I usually picked the person I voted for by looking at the number and type of signs they had. And based on that, I would make my decision. So I worked for Dow Chemical, and I was in a global role there at the end for the last 10 or 15 years. I had an office in Midland, Michigan, an office in Sarnia, and would fly around to these 254 plants I was in charge of. And I had young children. It was hard on the kids, and I was coming to the time where Dow was shutting down here, and I had to choose whether to move somewhere with them or to stay. And so I chose to take a job at Suncor as the director of engineering and construction. And when I started there, they told me I couldn't have a laptop computer. They only wanted me to work during the hours of 8 and 4:30. which was totally foreign. I had been working from 4 in the morning when the Europeans would call until midnight when my people in the Pacific Rim would be up and talking. So I had a lot more time, and as I took that time, I was sitting on my back deck one day and I was praying to the Lord, saying, Lord, I feel that you've got me in a time of transition, and I just want to know, what would you have me do? And I heard him say, I want you to go into politics. Why? And he said to me, I am going to raise you up to be a leader in difficult times. And so that was the beginning response. If you look at the next slide, I think my response was more like Mary's. I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And so from that point, I thought, okay, Lord, I don't know anybody in politics. I don't know how to get into politics. But if you would have me do this, then just open the doors. And within a month, Bob Bailey called me and wanted me to be an executive advisor to him on his committee. And then a month later, Pat Davidson called. She was our MP then and wanted me to be on her executive committee. And so that's how it began, and over the next 10 years, I learned about policy and participated in their elections. All the while, I was busy as an engineer and never had any, you know, inclination. And then when Pat decided to retire, you know, I felt like that was the time that the Lord wanted to raise me up. So I said, okay, here we go, and went into the election. And many of you may know that the elections are ugly things, and all of the hatred that's out there starts to come up and is a real tester of your faith. And so at one point, I wasn't even sure it was going to happen, but I said, Lord, you're the one that said you wanted me. I'm not doing this because I want to do this. I'm doing this because you want me to do this, and so you have to do it. And there were some miraculous things that happened in the election, but as a result, here I am. So that's how a Christian gets into politics. Now, once you're in politics, then how can you be a Christian? It's amazing to me the amount of lying and corruption and horrible things that are going on, nasty behaviors of people against people within the House of Commons, within the government. You know, maybe it's not a shock to those of you that are here, but to me, I wasn't used to that environment, and I certainly wasn't used to the hatred that I was receiving, you know, the press misquoting you, and then people hating you on Twitter and hating you on Facebook, and coming to your office to hate you and stopping you in the street to hate you. It was a very difficult thing. So on the next slide, I have the hardest verses of being a Christian in politics. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Every day you're sitting in the House and you have people saying things to you in the House of Commons that either are offensive to what you believe or they're against you, and you have to love them. And that is really hard, and it's something, you know, you can feel sometimes that you get angry, and, you know, to return to that place where you can show love and you can speak in a loving way. And praying for those who persecute you. Like the woman who wrote that I said Donald Trump was a bright light that restored freedom of speech to America. I mean, I had to pray for this woman. These are times where faith in action, you just think, really, God, really? But, you know, we have to do it. And there is encouragement. When I've come back to Sarnia, the one thing I enjoy is to visit different churches, because I feel that in addition to having legal authority, you know, as your member of parliament, I have a spiritual responsibility as well to pray for all of the churches and to be aware of what their needs are and what they want prayer for. And so I was at a church one day, and they gave me a scroll that had on it the verse from Matthew 5. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And you know, that was a real turning point for me, where I recognized, you know, if you're going to stand for the Lord, you will be criticized. You will be persecuted. It says, rejoice and be glad. And something in me just really healed up, and I stopped listening to the voice of those that were speaking negatively and started listening to Lord, what are you saying? What do you want me to do? And I think that was a real turning point. And, you know, you talk about the discipline of the Lord and how he does things that you don't like, and then all of a sudden you see the growth in your character as a result. So that's how I started to move and become a Christian. Now, on the next slide, I'll tell you that although John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, there are a lot of dark things that are being discussed and talked about. Some of you follow it, some of you don't, but C14, talking about assisted dying and hearing, I mean, the desire of the government to really kill all kinds of people, not just people that want to die, but maybe people that aren't, you know, mentally incompetent to give their consent, and maybe some major minors, and all these different things that are being discussed. The BDS movement, which is a movement to boycott Israel and to spread hatred for Israel on our university campuses. This is happening in Canada, and there was nothing being done to stop it. And so we had a chance to bring a motion to say, we can't allow this in our country. This is discrimination. And I brought the verse from Genesis to the House of Commons, that regarding Israel, those that bless Israel will be blessed, and those that curse Israel will be cursed. And so to be standing on all of these issues in the House of Commons and speaking out the things that God would say for life and for truth, that is the challenge. And you know, you do get some backlash, but I don't worry about it now. I just worry about saying the right thing, because I don't know if you saw this even this last week, that the parliamentary secretary of the prime minister is bringing legislation to ban showing pictures of unborn children in ads in attempts to, you know, bring out the anti-abortion agenda. It just seems like they're coming against our freedom of speech. And while, you know, Joe the cat can have 17 pellets hit him in the head and everyone is outraged, 500,000 babies were killed in Canada in the last 10 years and no one says anything. So there are a lot of really dark issues that are there, a lot of the LGBT agenda being brought forward. And in all of it, how do we show love? You know, how can you be the truth and be light, but be seen to be loving? So those are the challenges that I face and the things that I'm trying to do every day when I do my work in the House of Commons. But we can get Christ into politics. And on the next slide, I put a few things up there. So in response to this assisted dying bill, I brought forward a palliative care bill for palliative care for all Canadians. Because in all the places that have assisted dying or euthanasia, where they have palliative care, 95% of people choose to live as well as they can for as long as they can. So there's a choice for life. I talked about standing up against the BDS motion that was brought. And then the parliamentary prayer. The heart of this is prayer, and Dave mentioned the prayer breakfast that happens. It is an all-parliamentary prayer breakfast, and we're not allowed to say who else goes because it's confidential. But I will tell you that there are people from all parties that come. We pray for one another. We pray for the nation. And behind Parliament Hill, there is the National House of Prayer, where people are praying 24/7. And, you know, that is the foundation of our country. That is the thing that causes God to protect us, to move on our behalf. And during question period, I will see people that are from the National House of Prayer. They're up in the gallery, and they're praying for us while we do the work in Parliament. We open every day of Parliament with prayer. I think that's significant in a country where that's been torn away in so many places, that is still in place, and we need to make sure that stays in place. I think the other thing that we need to stand on is the foundation that Canada was built on. The name Canada was chosen from Psalm 72:8. He shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the rivers to the end of the earth. And so the country was named on that foundational prayer from Psalm 28. And we know then that we can have confidence that Jesus will retain his kingship in our nation, and that he is raising up people, not just me, but others like me, who can come and bring light and bring truth. So in summary, When we talk about faith, I'll take the next slide. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And so be listening. If you aren't taking that time to listen and say, God, what would you have me do? Okay, then I encourage you, listen. But then faith has to be accompanied by action, because faith without works is dead. So it's fine to hear what God wants you to do, but then you need to step out, and he will open the doors. You've seen in my story today how he's at every stage brought me along to teach me the things I need to know, to put people in my path who can help. And then our faith is increased through the Spirit and through testing, through that discipline that you talked about. Certainly, my faith is much increased since I've even been 9 months in this, because I see that God is with me. I see that the experiences that I've had that have been difficult, the early first three months, I think I was crying myself to sleep a few times, and just my stomach was in knots about the hatred that was out there and the things that were happening. But you know, it has really steeled me in my spirit to know I can do what God wants me to do. I can listen to what he tells me to say, and he will go with me, and it will be good. So I have faith. I want you to listen to what God has for you. I think you are. I see that in the ministries that are here. But at every stage, it's never too late for God to be calling you again. Don't forget, Moses was 60, Abraham was 75 when they started on their journey of the things that God called them to. So, you know, rise up as people of faith. Pray for me, I will pray for you. And just know that God is in control, and he will have dominion from sea to sea and from the rivers to the end of the earth. Thank you.
Why don't you come back up here with me for a minute? Really appreciate you coming and sharing this. And so maybe just before you go, is there some specific ways that we can be praying for you?
Yeah, I would give the prayer that Paul asked for, that I would speak boldly. Okay, because there is always that tendency, that fear of man that comes, that would keep you from bringing the pure, hardcore word of God when he wants it spoken. And I would pray protection. These are very dangerous times that we're living in. And so I know that all of the parliamentarians are ever aware that there is that threat. So yeah, for protection and for boldness to speak, and also wisdom and discernment. You know, because they're dark times, and sometimes the enemy of what God would really have sounds good. So wisdom and discernment.
Yeah. Well, Friday night, Marilyn called me. I was at the wedding rehearsal for Tiffany and Steve, who got married yesterday. By the way, just a beautiful, perfect day for a wedding. And just as we talk about faith, loved seeing, it's a little weird because again, I've known Tiffany since she was 5 years old. So it's a little weird when you see these girls walk down the aisle and all of a sudden they're grown women and you're giving them away to this guy. And so I just say this as a word of warning to you girls, the guys better measure up because we go through some tough stuff. And so you're gonna bring a guy around for me to marry you to, then and so same goes the other way around too, by the way, for the guys. But it's just your heart gets filled when you see people act out in faith like that. But anyway, at the rehearsal dinner, Marilyn called me just to go over stuff for today. And she said, this is kind of what I'm thinking. And we hadn't talked previously about this at all. I said, well, you know, that actually, as the Lord would have it, this would actually fit very well because this is where we are in our series on faith. And so God is amazing that way.
He knows.
He knows.
He knows the end before the beginning.
Yeah. As just an incredible thing for sure. And so thank you for being obedient to the Lord, for demonstrating that and sharing a little bit of that with us. Thank you for creating time. And I know you're off of parliamentary session, but your schedule is filled here in the summer, so I appreciate you making time to be here with us today. And so I wonder, just before the music team comes to sing this last song for us, and as we kind of get ready for ABC, if you'd just stand with us, and let's pray for Marilyn and others like her. There are, you know, what's good to know is that she's not alone in her faith in Jesus Christ and her desire to represent him as a parliamentarian. And so as we pray for her, we also pray for others like her. So let's pray together. Father, just thank you so much for your hand of blessing upon our lives. Thank you, God, for teaching us all the more through times of, through good times and through difficult times, times of transition and times of uncertainty. We thank you, Father, that you lead us. And so today we praise you for Marilyn, and we thank you for her desire to honor you, to follow you in a very difficult place. And we recognize, God, that so much of politics is hard to bear, even for us to read the little bits that we read. And as Marilyn's immersed in that, and as she looks to you, I pray, Father, that you would indeed embolden her, that you would grant her wisdom and discernment, that you would use her, Father, to speak truth in small and consistent portions that would continue to break through the darkness and shine the light of Jesus upon the issues and the people who shape those issues for our nation. And would you also use her here in this community? Thank you for her responsiveness to the needs of the community and her desire to represent us well, to serve you above all of that. And so continue to be with her, Father. Use her for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here.
Awesome. We'll just get you to stay standing, please. And we're going to sing one final song with you. And I always kind of am amazed at how God orchestrates things sometimes. We're going to sing Days of Elijah. And the first verse has these words. These are the days of Elijah declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword. Still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare you the way of the Lord. And I am so excited to sing this song with you, especially in light of what you've just shared with us. And I just think, praise God. Thank you so much. Let's sing. I'm going to try to sing. You guys sing.
The day.
Are you excited?
I know I am.
What a great day to be together, right? And we're going to have a great week together. One of the reasons why it's possible for us to welcome at least 120 kids in this week is because so many people have said we're willing to give ourselves this week. And people have taken time off of work and changed their schedules to be part of this. And so we are so excited for that. We're so thankful to the Lord because we didn't know what we were going to do with some of the changes that we had to make this year. But God has greatly exceeded anything that we have considered and prayed about. So thank you so much for being part of it. Thank you again, Marilyn. Marilyn's here, I think, and she'll be sticking around for a few minutes if you want to talk to her. Great to have you here as part of this this week. And so I look forward to hearing more and knowing how we can pray and support you in your role, for sure. Part of that idea of going through discipline and testing, it says so God can allow you to see his holiness. God wants to show his holiness to you. And so that you would discover a harvest of righteousness and peace. And who among us doesn't desire to become more holy, to desire to see God's righteousness and to have peace in our lives? And so now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us that which is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Let's get ready. We got a great week ahead. Thank you so much. Bless each other as you head out. Thank you.